The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. You can find us on Twitter /X at Bastards_Boston. I'm your host, Charlie Smith, coming to you from Los Angeles, California, by way of Providence, Rhode Island. You can find me on Twitter /X at Smith_MLB. Our other hosts rejoining us are Jerry Schilling, coming to us from Boca Raton, Florida, by way of Centerville, Massachusetts, and Terry Cushman, coming to us from Myrtle Beach in South Carolina, by way of Windham, Maine. Jeremy, how are you doing, and where can the fans find you?
I am well. They could find me at JTShill20.
Fantastic. Terrence, how are you doing? Where can the fans find you?
Excellent. I can be found at CushmanMLB, Terry Talks Sox on Facebook. Find us on Instagram and all over the place.
I'd like to note that I friended Terry on Terry Talks Sox on like Wednesday, and he just accepted my friend request today. What's that about? I thought I was under like management review. I'm like, what's going on here?
I need to be better at being a little bit more active, but it's a work in progress. And just so you feel better, like 8 other people were like, you know, in the queue to be added back. So
any of those 8 other people co-hosts? I'm just curious.
Not at the moment.
Charlie, I thought I was getting rejected. I'm like, he's going to leave me for months.
I'm not going to ask how long you had to wait for me. I'm guessing a day. I have no idea.
Charlie doesn't use Facebook, do you?
I don't. I really don't. I don't use social media that much anymore. But let's get ready to this. This is going to be an episode of Totally Legit or Calling the Cops. You agree or disagree? Terry, we're going to have you bat leadoff. Give Jeremy a break. Number one on the hit parade, Jaren Duran becomes the first player in the American League with 20-plus home runs and 50-plus stolen bases. Again, totally legit or calling the cops. Jaren Duran becomes the first in the American League with 20-plus homers and 50 stolen bases. Go.
Since it's a package deal, I have to call the cops. For some reason, and the reason why is he's just really streaky when it comes to stealing bases. Like some weeks he's on and he's doing it, and then other weeks he's just content to just be patient and wait for the base hit or the hit and run signal, what have you. Now, if we're talking 20 home runs, I do think he will get there. He's got 10 at the moment. The dude can go off. I mean, he had, 3 in a week not that long ago. 67 games left. He only has to hit, one every 6 games or so. I think that's a lot more achievable than the stolen bases at this point. So, officially calling the cops.
Okay. Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm calling the cops as well, especially, again, as Terry said, this is a package deal. I will say this. If he does it, this team's going to make the playoffs. This team goes as Jaren Duran goes. And if he ends the season at 20-50 in these categories, that means he's on base and in scoring position for Devers. You know, it's just we're not at the halfway point on games played. We're at the break point for the All-Star game, but we've played more games than we have left. This is going to be a challenge. And given the fact that he broke down last year has me concerned. I don't think he will. He hasn't shown any indication that he's going to. He obviously takes tremendous care of himself, but this isn't like splitting the season in half and saying he's going to double his production. He needs to accelerate his production to get there. So for those reasons, I'm calling the cops.
Before I give my take here real quick, we know that Jarren Duran is leading Major League Baseball with 10 triples. He's obviously not leading Major League Baseball with his 10 home runs, but who do you think is leading doubles in the American League?
Jeez.
Ramirez in Cleveland?
That's a great
guess. Not a bad guess. That's a decent guess.
Without looking, I would say Bobby Witt.
Ooh. Bobby Witt is second with 25. Number one is Jarren Duran with 27 doubles.
He is number one.
I like that. Okay. I like that a lot. Where is Ramirez?
Ramirez is number 14 on the list. He's got 20, but Ramirez is having an absolute out of this like orbit season, hitting 324 with 23 dingers and 77 RBIs. He's basically matched the production of all of last season. Last season, he had 24 dingers and 80 RBIs. He's one home run and three RBIs away from hitting that. He's going to do it. You know, a handful of runs away. He's, you know, 10 stolen bases away. His batting average is almost there. The guy is just destroying it. He's doing incredible work this year. But yeah, Jarren Duran is, you know, to your point, Jim, he's going to have to accelerate. I think he can hit 20 home runs. There's a chance that he hits 40 plus doubles. And I'm going to actually say, I'm calling the cops, but I think it's totally legit that he has 40 doubles, 40 stolen bases, 20 home runs, and 18 triples. I think that's absolutely possible, but the batting average is also going to have to, you know, go on the uptick as well. After this All-Star break, he is going to have to absolutely torch every team he plays, and I just don't think 50 is going to get there. I think he'll get 40 plus doubles, 40 plus stolen bases, but he won't get that, you know, important 50. Moving into our second one tonight.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I just looked this up, and it kind of surprises me. Jarren Duran is leading the Boston Red Sox right now in WAR. Without looking it up, what do you think it is? Devers is 3.4.
Five.
Charlie's what about.
I looked a couple of days ago, and I saw it was like at 5 a couple of days ago.
Okay, so he's 5.1. Basically, okay. Got it. Devers is 3.4, and I think he's having a hell of a season, and he's having a hell of a last 30 days. Notably,
Who's higher than him? Judge is higher than him. Henderson is probably higher. He's probably third.
I don't know how to look that up because it's not on.
Let me see. Hold on. If I go to ESPN,
while you're looking that up, this is what is almost more impressive.
Fourth.
He's fourth in all of MLB? Wow.
He's fourth. It's Judge, Henderson, Witt Jr., and then Duran.
And what is Judge?
Judge is 6'4", Henderson 6'3",
wow.
Witt 5'2", and Duran 5'1". I apologize for interrupting.
Duran could maybe, I don't know. I mean, we'll get back to it. But here's the really impressive thing. I always complained about Duran's defense prior to last season. Here's his defensive WAR the last 4 years, which is, you know, the only that covers all of his major league service time. He was a negative 0.4 WAR his first year, second year 0.6 negative, and then last season 2023 0.5. This year it's positive 1.4. Drastic turnaround. That's a 2-point swing basically. And just in this series, we didn't cover it on the last show, I think Bobby Witt tried to go from second to home on a fly out to mid, or maybe it was a grounder, I can't remember, it had to have been a grounder out to, you know, the middle of left field, and Duran gunned him down on a perfect throw
by 15 feet.
Yeah, so you're
and he also had a game saving throw from center field at the game I attended in Miami.
Okay,
where I don't remember who we threw out, but he threw him out at home.
Yeah, so
I mean, his throwing has been drastically better.
With his offensive ceiling, I think he's close to it. With his defensive ceiling, I think he still has a ways to go. I mean, you could be talking about a truly elite defender here in the next year or two?
We're going to see. It's going to be something very, very exciting to see moving forward. Number two, totally legit or calling the cops. Terry, lead us off. Number two, Red Sox will finish the 2024 season with three pitchers at 12 or more wins and two pitchers with 200 or more innings pitched and 200 or more strikeouts. So I'm going to say that one more time. The Red Sox will finish this season with three pitchers with 12 wins or more and two pitchers with both 200 innings pitched and 200 strikeouts. Go ahead first.
I have to call the cops. I think, well, actually, I take the, this is hard. Okay. So I'm looking at Bayo's wins right now, and for some bleeped up reason, he's got 10 wins. So I'm assuming Hauk and Crawford are your two leaders in that. Hauk is 8-6. Bayo, despite an ERA of 5.32, is 10-5. And let's look at the strikeouts. Yeah, I don't see it happening. They've got what, about 12 starts apiece. Crawford is at 110 strikeouts. Hauk is at 112. I don't see them getting to 200 at this point. And their strikeouts have dipped, you know, in several starts. They're still pitching very effectively. They're getting guys out. But, I mean, Crawford, as we covered in the last show, only four strikeouts. Hauk has only been getting 4 to 6 strikeouts for the most part. So I don't think they get there on strikeouts. 112 innings for Crawford, 117 for Hauk. There's just not enough time left. Bayo is only at 89 2/3. They fall well short, I would say. Calling the cops.
Jeremy.
Same. I mean, again, we're not at 81 games. You know, we're on the back end of the games to be played. I don't see this happening. I do think that we have the potential to have three players get 12 wins. Remember, Pivetta, and he's a trade candidate, so I understand that, but he's going to get about 14 starts, I believe. I don't think he's going to go 8-6 or 8 decisions that end up in wins. The other thing with the win stat is it's so illusory. You know, I mean, you can pitch really well, 7 innings, 2 runs, and leave a game with it tied, and you just don't get the win even though you pitched well. I mean, it's the win stat is for a starting pitcher is it carries almost the least amount of weight with stats in baseball, in my opinion. So I'm calling the cops on this for any number of reasons, including I don't think there's enough games left to be played.
So I think they've got 12, maybe 13 more starts, and that's assuming no injuries happen. And that means that Crawford would have to win half those starts. That in itself makes it difficult. Bayo is going to get there. And to your point, Bayo's got 10 wins with an ERA at 5.32. Tanner Houck has an ERA less than half of that. He's 2.54, and he's got 8 wins. They're just not pitching, you know, they're not hitting for him as much, and they're not hitting as much for Crawford. Crawford's got a 3.04 ERA, and he's got even less wins on the season. So they would have to pitch 13 more games and go a minimum of 7 innings to get to 200. It's not happening. So it's a stupid, lofty projection, but it would have been nice if these guys could have had maybe, you know, if we had a four-man rotation, yeah, there's a chance that these guys, had, you know, they're going to hit 200, but that's not happening. 200 strikeouts, I think only one of those two guys gets it. I think it's going to be Hauk that gets 200. I don't think Crawford's going to get to 200. So I'm also going to be calling the cops on this one. It would be amazing if three of them had 12 wins, but I think it's going to be two. I think only one guy gets to 200 strikeouts, and I also do not believe that we're going to have anybody get to the 200. I think they'll get 190. I just don't think that they'll hit 200. Anything else you guys want to add on that one? All right, moving into number three here. Sadon Rafaela fills the big, huge shoes that we finally need with the void of Mookie Betts. Is this totally legit, or are you calling the cops, Terry? Again, Sadon Rafaela filling the big shoes that we need with the void of Mookie Betts. What are you thinking?
Defensively, I'm going to say close enough. Offensively, we're just not... It's early. I think he's got the foundation built. It's just how many stories is this house going to be? Is it going to turn into a mansion by the time he's done with it? I don't know, because that's where it was for Mookie. Right now, it's just a one-level house on a slab, and you're just hoping to add more floors to it. You know, he's a scrappy hitter. I love that. And, you know, he's shown a little bit more discipline, but, you know, there are some metrics that still aren't great. Still chasing a lot, not drawing walks. He did not draw one at all in this, previous Royal series. He was 2-for-10 on that series. Both of his, hits were in that first game, and strikeouts still somewhat of an issue. He struck out 5 times. So, he's among the team leaders. I think he's actually second on the team in strikeouts. So have to call the cops for now, but if he's 70% of what Mookie Betts gave you, you know, offensively, that's a win for me. That's still probably a slightly to moderately above average MLB player.
Jeremy.
Yeah, so defensively, he's as good or better. He's as good or better. He's a plus defender at 2 key positions up the middle defense. You know, that's not part of the debate. This all comes down to offense. And this is not a 2024 question, in my opinion, so I'm calling the cops. He needs to continue to progress. And I also don't see him as the type of player that's going to win an MVP like Mookie did. So to fill his shoes, like Terry said, I'm at like 70% offensive production, and I'd be like, okay, this is the type of player we want, because he's such an electric factory defensively on the bases. Assuming he hits 20 home runs, he's on pace for about, what, 90 RBIs? That's incredible, because he's still so young. And by the way, he's locked up. He's here for a really long time. So if you're getting that from that player and at that cost, it's a huge, huge plus for this roster. But I don't see him ever getting to Mookie's status. So filling shoes, becoming Mookie, 2 separate issues. I think he can fill Mookie's shoes, but that's a 2026 question, not a 2024 question.
So defensively, I agree, and I'm glad that you guys were, you know, aligned on that one. I just want to share some numbers in Mookie Betts' second year. In Mookie Betts' second year at the age of 22, Sadon Rafaela's second year is 23. Mookie Betts played 145 games, had 92 runs scored, had 174 hits, had 42 doubles, 8 triples, 18 home runs, and 77 RBIs, along with 21 stolen bases. He drew 46 walks, which is a number that Terry's already mentioned. He would really like him to draw more walks, and hit .291 with a .341 on-base clip. Okay, that's 145 games. Sadon Rafaela in his second season so far, because we're not done yet, 93 games played, 45 runs scored, 81 hits, 16 doubles, 4 triples, 11 home runs, 52 RBIs, 11 walks, so down there, 94 strikeouts, a lot higher than where Mookie was, a .246 batting average, a .272 on base. Sadon Rafaela has the opportunity to have 100 RBIs at the end of his second year. I really think this is something that we need to kind of wake up on, because you got this guy for the next, was it 5 years after this? Isn't it a 6-year deal for Sadon, if I'm not mistaken? Wasn't it 6 years, $52 million?
No, it was 7 or 8 because of the options. And it really only added, I think, 2 years to what would have been his rookie deal anyway.
So he's got 8 years then, Jeremy, is what you're saying. 8-year deal. Awesome. You have plenty of time to figure it out. This is going to be 31 years old, meaning you're going to be getting, you know, him through what you would be getting Mookie Betts for. Mookie Betts has only had three seasons with 100, you know, RBIs. He's had four seasons, with 30 home runs. I think that Seidan Rafaela will eventually get up to a 300 plus batting average. I think he's going to learn that plate discipline because his role is going to change within the organization. I think he's going to have 100 plus runs scored. I think he's going to have that 170 to 200 hit season. This guy has all the makings of being special and a superstar for nothing, for no money. I mean, they're going to have to give him a stupid thank you contract at the end of it because that's what the Red Sox do, and that's what happens in Major League Baseball. I know, Jeremy, you're shaking your head, but it could happen. And I think that this is totally legit. I think that Seidan Rafaela could theoretically fill the shoes that Mookie Betts left open when he left during the COVID 2020 season. It was awful. It was an awful, you know, trade. We did not get the return that we wanted. But, I mean, the Boston Red Sox have someone very special in Seidan Rafaela, and I think it's very possible that he could be that superstar that we needed. You know, Seidan can play short. He probably could play second. He plays the outfield. Mookie Betts plays short, can play second, can play the outfield. You know, he'll do whatever he has to do. He's very athletically gifted. He's playing a better defensive shortstop than Mookie Betts is, and he's 8 years younger, you know? So who knows what can happen? I don't think that, you know, he's going to peak in the next three seasons. At least I hope not. But I do think that this is possible. Jeremy, I think you wanted to add one piece.
Yeah, but I lost my train of thought.
Well, let me do mine real quick.
Go ahead, Terry. Yep.
Three things, super rapid fire. He has, if the option is picked up at the very end, he would be with the Red Sox for 8 more years after this one. Number two, he's averaging one walk every 11 games. That's what really needs to be agreed upon.
So far, right.
And then lastly, if in 2 or 3 years he's your third best outfielder, assuming he's still going to improve incrementally, you're going to have a fantastic outfield at that point. And by third best, I just mean offensively. So not really worried about it. And he's one of the few guys that hits from the right side of the plate. So
I don't hate this. Yeah, Jeremy, go ahead.
I remember what I wanted to say. To the extent that he's going to get a contract at the end of this 8-year, $50 million deal as a thank you, Charlie, I say this with all the respect in the world. Have you not been paying attention to our ownership and their desire to spend money? Are you out of your goddamn mind?
Wishful thinking, Jerry.
Thank you contracts. If you're going to give a thank you contract, you're going to give it to Mookie Betts. I mean, the last one they gave was to Dustin Pedroia, and I saw a tweet today. He gets $2 million for the next 6 years and then $2.5 million for 2 more years on top of that. Don't quote me. I don't think that's accurate.
I don't remember, yeah.
Not a fact. But I saw it today. They are not doing Bobby Bonilla deals anymore. That ship has sailed, my friend. They are focused on their assets. I'm not going to do it. I do it every podcast I bag on ownership. I promise you I will not do it. But the fact that they're going to do that for anybody moving forward is ludicrous unless they sell the team.
So, go ahead, Terry.
So let's just look at it somewhat realistically here. He would be a free agent in his age 32 season. So the way to approach it would be to, you know, talk to him, you know, in his age 29 or 30 season and add maybe 3 years to the back end of it is the realistic way to do it. And by that point, is Breslow still here? Probably not. You know, these guys only seem to last 3 or 4 years. So it's going to be a future GM that tackles that. But that's way in the distance, though.
We shall see. I mean, you know, wishful thinking, Jeremy. I mean, if this guy ends up, you know, having like a 3,130 stolen base season, good Lord, you know, it's going to be crazy. And I hope he stays a Red Sox for the remainder of his career. Yes.
I hope Terry's right. If he's outperforming his contract, 28, 29, 30 years old, and you can extend him to year 34, I
do
love
it.
Yeah, I
do
love it.
And one other thing too, I mean, health is just such an important thing here. And I think he's started every game or all but one game. I forget what it is, but
he's been on point.
Yeah. So that's something I would put a premium on as you're approaching that point in his deal, especially.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Moving on to number four on our hit parade here. Totally legit calling the cops. Terry, Tyler O'Neill is the only bad trade at the deadline, netting a reliever and a righty top 10 prospect.
I feel like the neighborhood snitch tonight, you know, with 911 on speed dial, but I want to say that that's totally legit. That's what I want, but I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to do it. I think we're going to keep him. Because then you're going to need two right-handed bats if you move him, and I just don't see it. Costas is going to be back. That just kind of, you know, it's good that he's back, but that's going to take away at-bats from either Abreu or Hamilton, and that'll necessitate a right-handed bat to be in there. You know, and that's unfortunately O'Neill. So I have to call the cops.
Jeremy.
I'm calling the Canton police here.
Yeah. Oh boy. I get that reference. Yeah.
I'm doing it. I'm calling the Canton police. Notify the Norfolk district attorney. There is no way, as we currently sit here, that he's getting a major league bullpen arm and a top 10 prospect. He has been terrible in the month of July. If he's hit five bombs with 15 RBIs and he's hitting 280 and getting on base at a 330 clip and limiting strikeouts, that's a lot of factors, by the way. I don't know if you were counting. Then we'll talk about this particular set of parameters. The only way you're doing that is if you're falsifying evidence. That's the only way. He's going to get traded because I don't think he has a spot on this roster anymore, the way he's been performing. But it's going to be a low-end prospect, some guy in high A that's throwing 98 that, you know, couldn't throw the ball in the ocean, thinking they get in our system and we can get him tuned up and throwing strikes. I don't see it. I don't think we're going to get a reliever or a top 10 prospect, let alone both. So calling the Canton police.
Let me just say, sir. I mean, some farm systems after their fifth or sixth prospect, it really falls off. I mean, I don't even remember who we traded for Schwarber, but I do remember he was our eighth ranked prospect. Could potentially do that. I don't think a team is going to weaken their bullpen if they're trying to strengthen their rotation. So unless Breslow is fixated on like a diamond in the rough and someone's bullpen and thinks he can, as Jeremy said, tune them up, you know, then, you know, maybe that could be realistic. But I think you could net a lower top 10 prospect if you move him. I just don't think they're going to move him.
So I'm going to say that it's only going to be totally legit if Tyler O'Neill returns back to the beginning of the year form where he's hitting a home run at a stupid clip. You know, I don't know if we're going to get both a reliever and a top 10. I think it'd be nice, but I don't think there's going to be a team that does that unless he has like a stupid 2 weeks before the deadline. And then they're going to assume that he's back when God only knows. We'll see. But, you know, crazy things have happened. Anything else you gents want to add? All right, cool. So, number five, this is MLB-wide, totally legit or calling the cops, Terry. The Chicago Cubs will make multiple additions and shock the NL Central, taking it before season's end. The Chicago Cubs make multiple adds and shock the NL Central, taking it before season's end.
I am going to call the cops. I mean, they have had a terrible last 30 or 40 days in Major League Baseball. I'm just pulling up the standings right now. They're four games under 500. Well, they have won seven of their last 10, but I think that the Brewers have already added Savali. The Cardinals will probably add at the deadline. I think the Pirates will probably add at the deadline. So I don't see it happening. I think they're more likely to be sellers here as we approach the 30th.
Jeremy.
I mean, it's math. They have way too many teams to jump. Way too many teams to jump. It's not going to happen.
Is that it? That's the take?
They're last in the Central. Bro, they're last in the Central. They got to jump Cincinnati, who I think is underperformed. Pittsburgh, who now with Skeens, I mean, they you know, it's they're a run differential of negative 14, so they're not a good baseball team, but they're 500. You still, and Skeens is a stopper, the best stopper in baseball, by the way, because he doesn't give up anything. You know, St. Louis, I think, is overperforming, but still, you know, they're four games over 500. I mean, that, and then Milwaukee's the best team in the division. And then if you go to the wild card, they got to jump Cincinnati, the Giants, Pirates, San Diego, who I think is underperformed, Arizona, who was in the World Series last year. I mean,
the Mets.
The Mets are currently holding a playoff spot, as is St. Louis, who I think is overperforming, but still. And then Atlanta, who is reeling, but I hate to say it, but Chris Sale's a pretty good stopper right now. I mean, I go back to my original point. The math doesn't work itself out. They'd have to be on otherworldly. You know, they'd have to be significantly better than like five or six different teams just to get into the playoffs, let alone get into a position where they can make some noise. I think it's a good story. Obviously, you know, the Cubs are one of those franchises, like the Sox used to be, that have historic importance, but I don't see it happening. It's a math problem at this point, and they are on the wrong side of it.
So I'm going to be the crazy oddball with no scissor in my drink, no craziness here. I'm actually going to say this is totally legit. I think, here it is, Jeremy. There it is. Ready? All right. If the Chicago Cubs, all right, so here's the thing. Cincinnati Reds, they're going to pass them. Pittsburgh, outside of Skeens, I'm not really that scared. St. Louis Cardinals, you already took the words out of my mouth. They're overperforming. I don't think they should be scared of them. They're gonna pass those three teams. I think the Cubs are going to come back. They're gonna roar back. You know, they're 7-3 in their last 10. The Brewers are scuffling right now. I would not put it past the Cubs, who do have some of the top prospects in all of baseball. They have the number 17 prospect, they have Cade Horton, who's a pitcher. They've got James Triantos, who's a second baseman, and then not far past that, they've got Moises Ballesteros. So they've got a couple guys in there, and then Owen Casey, who's at number 34 in the MLB pipeline. What if they went crazy? What if they went all in and they got somebody like Eovaldi? They bring in, you know, a Kikuchi type. They bring in, maybe they get Kikuchi and Vlad Guerrero. You know, Michael Busch has been having a good month, but if you have the opportunity to upgrade with Vlad Guerrero, you bring Kikuchi, who just struck out, I think, 13 guys in his last appearance. You automatically gain, you know, you're going to at least hope for one more win in that five-man rotation. I don't think it's that far-fetched, especially if Milwaukee continues to struggle, you know? So I'm going to go crazy. Originally, I was going to say, you know, yeah, calling the cops, but you know what? I've had some crazy oddball projections and predictions, and I haven't always been wrong with the crazy oddballs. I was one of the only guys to pick the Cubs to win the division, and I really want to believe that they're going to be able to do it. So I'm going to say it's totally legit, and they surprise everybody.
I picked them to win it, too.
Yeah, you know.
I'm getting police on your take, bro.
Okay.
Respectfully, of course, which is the only way I handle these things. You're already putting people on the roster that aren't there, and you're assuming 3 to 5 teams go a certain way. Like, you're going to be wrong somewhere in there. I mean, again, it's a math problem. Like, you're just assuming teams are not going to perform. Like, Skeens has been great, but I don't believe in the roster. Well, look, it's not just Pittsburgh. It's San Diego. It's Arizona, who bought at the trade deadline last year and went to the goddamn World Series. So that's just two teams. You know, San Francisco's ahead of you. Cincinnati has a ton of talent. You know, there's only, by the way, there's only three teams worse in the NL right now than the Cubs. The Nationals, who are still in it technically, they're going to sell. But there's only really two bad teams. Colorado and Miami stink. They're terrible. But everyone else is in it. And your take requires everyone else to be significantly worse than the Cubs. And I think and this is a gambling term, subject to recency bias, where they're 7 out of their last 10, and you think that's going to project over the last 67 games. I mean, that's a hell of a conclusion to reach, Charlie.
That's not what I said. What did I say? I said, assuming they can add those pieces, Jeremy.
Yeah, but
it's a take. If they don't make those additions, obviously, there's a very small likelihood that's going to happen. Plus, you have to account for injuries and stuff. But if they become buyers, and I mean big buyers, and they don't botch it like the Padres did, who bought and blew. I mean, it's not the craziest thing. The Oakland Athletics won 24, 25, 26 straight games on a team that was not projected to win half of their games that season and finished the season with over 100.
I'd like to repeat. I'm calling the Canton police. There's 20 factors that have to go right for you to be right. They aren't going to all happen. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Terry, yes.
Well, we know I can no longer use this take on this show. There's no call in the Secret Service at this point. But they were on the fence about trading Cody Bellinger, but just went on the injured list again, this time with a finger problem. Won't be back for at least a couple weeks. I just don't see it. See, Charlie, reality is sinking in now. But
I'm still going with it. I'm going all right.
I picked them to win the division too, but I'm not a believer anymore.
So, I jokingly said something about myself from Jeremy's perspective, putting words in his mouth, obviously just joking. But in the event that this happens, I will actually, I don't know what I'll do. I really don't know. I mean, Jeremy's absolutely right. Six things have to go right. Not even 20. Like, you need to get to like 5 or 6. Bellinger is going to need to come back. And I was talking about that with injuries being a part of the game. You know, look at what Michael Busch has done in the last month. And he's your current first baseman. Is there some flexibility of moving Vladimir Guerrero around, because he's had some experience outside of first base? So I do want to double check, because my MLB knowledge on the Cubs, I don't recall who the third baseman was. Was it Morel? I think it was Morel. I think it's Chris Morel, who's doing all right with the home run and RBI department, but he's hitting 200. If you can slot Vladdy Guerrero in there and you have somebody like Chris Morel off the bench, I'm not hating that. If you can, again, if you can add Kikuchi, if you can add Evaldi, I mean, they don't have it. That's three, Jeremy, if you're counting, pal. You know, that's three. We haven't got a six yet. But, I mean, yeah, if you go all in, there's a chance. And if Milwaukee has an ugly 5-6-game losing streak and Chicago wins 4 in a row, your 8-game, you know, deficit's down to 4, maybe 3. It's not that insane. So anything is possible. That's the beauty about Major League Baseball. It's poetic. It's beautiful. There's 162 games left. Anything can happen. Just let the boys play. Yeah, Terry, and then Jeremy. I saw the finger up first. Go ahead.
So the more critical games are the remaining games this month, because that's what's going to determine if they're buying or selling. They've got the Diamondbacks, who are above 500 at home. They've won 6 of their last 10. So they face them out of the break. Then they've got the division leading Brewers, who have a run differential of plus 79, by the way. And then they go on the road against Kansas City, a team that's actually they're not in possession of a playoff, but they're right there. And then the Reds, who can blow you out of the water, which is what they did to us 2 out of 3 games.
Perfect. Jeremy, go ahead and make your final pitch.
Charlie, I'm a gambling man. I'll give you 1 in 6 odds that the Cubs don't make the playoffs.
See, I don't gamble. That's the problem. I'm not fun. I'm not a gambling kind of dude. There's a story about it. I'll share that with you later.
That's tough. That's tough because you could put your money where your mouth is here.
I could.
Those are pretty good odds, actually.
1 in 6. That's pretty good. All you got to do is make the playoffs. I'm not saying win the division.
You know what? Even if that happens, I would still be happy to be right that happens. But I won't. I'll tell you what I will do off the air, though. I'll tell you what I will do off the air.
All right.
Anything else you want to add, T?
A lot of rumors are going to start about what that off the air thing is, but. We'll just leave it at that.
There's nothing inappropriate, Terrence.
Okay.
All right. Terrence to say something inappropriate.
I'll tell you guys what I'm proposing if you want.
All right. We're going to wrap it on this one, gentlemen. Everybody, have a wonderful rest of your day or evening if you're listening to us at your night commute. Have a great one. Take care.